ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तम् मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तो ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः So we are seeing the fourth mantra of the Keno Upanishad, wherein we have seen the first meaning of the first quarter. We are seeing the meaning of the explanation of the first quarter of the mantra, Pratibodha Viditam Matam. Actually, with Pratibodha Viditam Matam, this quarter of this mantra itself, the teaching of the Keno Upanishad gets over. The second chapter, the first chapter, the second chapter, in this fourth mantra, with this fourth mantra, the teaching gets over. So third chapter, now the next mantra is going to be a Palashruti. The fifth mantra will be a Palashruti. Palashruti means it talks about the benefit of knowledge. Finished. And the third chapter has the story, and the fourth chapter talks about the Karma Yoga and Upasana. This is the entire teaching of the Keno Upanishad. So the teaching is over here. And here, and this is the most important part of the fourth verse, part of this Upanishad, because in this mantra, it is revealed that Brahman, the reality, is recognizable only in one's own mind. And the Brahman is recognizable in one's own mind also as the swarupam of every vrittihi, every thought, vritti parinamaha, thought modification. This is the main teaching here. So, Pratibodha Viditam. It means experience, any experience, a cognition or knowledge in the mind is actually mixture of two factors, consciousness and antahkarana vrittihi. So, consciousness by itself cannot become an experience or knowledge or cognition. Antakarna vrittihi also by itself cannot become the antakarna vrittihi cannot become cognition or experience by itself. Both together alone become the experience or cognition. Why? Because consciousness by itself is non-recognizable, non-accessible, non-transactable. Because it is non-transactable, non-recognizable by as consciousness by itself, there is a conclusion that there is no such thing called consciousness. There is no such a thing called, they have consciousness, but they don't see consciousness being an absolute eternal reality. It's as good as non-existent for them. It is non-existent because it is non-objectifiable, imperceptible, and it is also non-transactable, non-accessible. Therefore, it is non-existent. Because anything which is imperceptible is non-existent. It is perceptible is existent. Therefore, here for them, there are many people who think it is non-existent because reality is non-existent. Why? Because it is non-perceptible. It is non-objectifiable. So here, here we say consciousness is the reality. Consciousness is Brahman, which is the existence of this universe. But that consciousness how is it available for recognition? No, only it is recognizable only if there is a vritti. Only it is when it is manifest, it is recognizable. So when consciousness is not manifest, as pure consciousness, it is non-recognizable. The manifest consciousness alone is recognizable. So manifest consciousness is said to be Chidabhasaha. The pure consciousness is said to be Chit. Actually, here, what am I? Am I the Chit or am I the Chidabhasaha? Chit or Chidabhasaha. So that is where we understood, actually, the Chidabhasaha is only the manifest, only name. So there are not two different consciousnesses, as reflected consciousness, manifest consciousness, and pure consciousness. There's no such a thing. They're not separate. One cannot experience pure consciousness. One cannot experience separately the consciousness and manifest consciousness. For a jnani or ajnani, no, because they're not two different also, not separable. Chidabhasaha and chit, consciousness and manifest consciousness are not separable. Not separately experienceable. In fact, because they are not two different things. In fact, they are one consciousness alone. Chidabhasaha and Chit are one consciousness, which means Chidabhasaha is a name given to the consciousness in the presence of the thought. In the absence of the thought, it is consciousness. This is what we saw in the last class. Is it Chittan Chidabhasaha? So in continuation of where we saw, which means there is the Chidabhasaha obtaining in every mind is what? Consciousness only. Therefore the consciousness is one indivisible partless whole, and which gets the name Chidabhasaha in the presence of the mind. Like this way, here was example also was given. This is space obtaining in Vyomni, is it? Different enclosures is not divisible, is not that not many, only one space, but it, you know, it seems to be divided because of the very enclosures which stand in the very space. In fact, the space is ever indivisible. Similarly, consciousness also one indivisible, partless reality, but it gets the name Chidabhasaha in different minds. So Chidabhasaha in every mind is what? Chit only. Chidabhasaha, therefore the manifesting media are many. Therefore the Chidabhasas appear to be many. Really speaking, the manifestations are one and the, are of the one and the same consciousness only. That also we saw last class. If you say consciousness by itself, what is it? That we saw last class. Sarva Pratya Darshi, illuminator of all the thoughts, and Upajanana Apaya Varjita Drik Swarupata. So the consciousness as the consciousness as self-effulgent reality, it is free from what now? The arrival and departure. In this context, I told you, and then it's also eternal, nityatvam, vishuddha rupatvam, atmatvam, nirvisesha ekatvam. We saw all the meaning of all these words. Which means, there are three things. When the consciousness is, why do we give two names then? Why do we call consciousness? You know, two names. Why do we use two names? As Chit and Chidabhasaha. Why do we use two names, Chit and Chidabhasaha? Is it? See, if we understand, if we misunderstand consciousness as something located in the mind, it gets the name Chidabhasaha. If we understand that consciousness is manifested by the mind, it is Chit. And if we understand the consciousness is manifested by the mind, then it is seemingly limited. It is not really limited. If we understand that consciousness is only manifested by the mind, then we understand consciousness is seemingly limited because of its manifestation, because of the limitation of the manifesting medium, the mind, which means consciousness is limitless. If we think that, if we understand, misunderstand that consciousness is located in the mind, then what happens? Consciousness is as a limited by the mind. It's a misconception, right understanding and wrong understanding, isn't it? What is right understanding and what is wrong understanding? So, if we understand correctly that consciousness is an eternal, permanent reality in whose presence thoughts come to light and the thoughts come, shine and the thoughts resolve. We understand thought consciousness is an eternal reality free from arrival and departure, but it is witnessing, eternally witnessing the arriving, departing thoughts. If you misunderstand consciousness is located in the mind, then consciousness becomes what now? The arriving, departing, arriving, departing, the time-bound entity. So these are the 3 points we have to remember. Consciousness is, if we think it is located, it is misunderstanding, then consciousness becomes what? The limit becomes something limited by the mind. The consciousness is manifested by the mind, it is seemingly limited, not really limited. If a consciousness is understood to be the eternal reality in whose presence the thoughts come and go, what arrives and departs only the thoughts, not the consciousness, if you understand, then you can understand nityatvam of consciousness being eternal, the thoughts being, thoughts alone come and go. Therefore, now the understanding must be that I am consciousness, the eternal consciousness, free from, arrival and departure, free from arriving, departing thoughts, and seemingly limited by the limited by the mind, but not really limited. I mean, limitless reality, seemingly limited because of the limitation of the mind, not really limited. This is the understanding one should have. All these things we saw last class. And we also saw the example, Lakshana Bheda Abhavat Vyomni Iva Gata Giri Guhadishu. We saw that also. When we say consciousness is one, and then one means it is free from all the divisions, it is divisionless. The Surupam, it is Beda Abhavat, Lakshana Beda Abhavat. Yomni Iva Gata Giri Guhadishu. Due to the absence of the descriptive attributes, Lakshana, it is free from describable attributes also. Describable attributes are not there for consciousness because of its oneness. And how? Vyomni Iva Ghatagiri Guhadishu. Like this space, which is free from, it is attributeless because of its oneness. And how it is, even though it seems to be seemingly located, seemingly enclosed by space in different enclosures, in fact, all the enclosing walls or enclosures themselves stand in the very space, that consciousness is indivisible like space. Okay, then, vidita avidita bhyam anyat brahma iti agama vakyartha evam parishuddha eva upasamhritaha bhavati. In this manner, vidita avidita abhyam anyat brahma iti agama vakyartha. Agama vakyartha means the statement of the Veda. which we have seen in the previous chapter, that what is Brahman? Brahman is distinct from the known and the unknown. That statement being, the statement being the fact, Parishuddha means being the fact, you know, Upasamhritaha Bhavati. Now it is actually, it is that fact is revealed again here, or summed up again here in this statement, Pratibodha Viditam Matam. This much we saw last class. Now we have to go to the next mantra. Drashte Drashta. Shrute Shrota. Mater Manta. Vijnater Vijnata. Iti hi. Shrutyantaram. See, drashtehe drashta, shrutehe shrota, matehe manta, vijnatehe vijnata, iti shrutyantaram. Now, the same thing, to make it clear again, the shrutyantaram means there's another shruti statement. It is a very famous statement from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. What does it say here? Drashtehe drashta. Are you all listening or what? Drashtehe drashta. See, drashtru. When you say drashtru, no? Drashtru means seer. And drashtehe is seers. Drashta means seer. See, rikarantaha pullingaha drashtru shabdaha tasyaha. Ekavachane shashti vibhakto drashtehe iti rupam. In possessive form of the drashtra shabda is drashtehe. So drashtehe drashta means seer of the seer. So seer of the seer. Shrutehe shrota. No, hearer of the hearer. Matehe manta. Thinker of the thinker. Vijnatehe vijnata. Knower of the knower. Iti hi shrutyantaram. This is the, now this is the another shruti statement here. So what does the here it mean? Which means generally there's understanding, mind is the knower, mind is the perceiver, mind is the thinker, mind is the, we have understanding. General understanding is what? Mind is the knower, mind is the experiencer. Mind is the thinker. Mind is the experiencer, knower, perceiver. This is the understanding. And we also have identity with the mind. So we say, I am the perceiver, I am the knower. So we say that. But identity is where? Only with the mind. Because mind is taken to be the seer, knower, perceiver, etc. But actually speaking, how does the mind become the seer, knower, perceiver, cognizer, a thinker? Isn't it? So here, actually mind, of course, mind is the knower, mind is the illuminator, mind is the perceiver of the external world through the senses, there's no doubt. But mind by itself does not, cannot illumine or perceive, know or think. Which means, we have to remember here, when you say thinking, experiencing, say thinking, experiencing, knowing, cognizing means everything is what are the two aspects are involved, two factors are involved, isn't it? Vritti by itself does not become cognition, experience or thought, knowledge, we have already seen. Which means consciousness with the thought alone together, two factors together become, isn't it? Thinking, knowing, cognition means. Then we say, so therefore, even though mind is conscious, it is the consciousness which illumines the mind. And through the illumination of the mind, what now? It illumines the senses, and through the senses, it illumines the external world also. Therefore, there is no consciousness is not the thinker, but there is no thinker without consciousness. Consciousness is not the knower, but that there is no knower without consciousness. Consciousness is not the perceiver, but that there is no perceiver without consciousness. Isn't it? So conscious, it is actually a thinker, knower, perceiver, etc. Even though we say mind is a thinker, really speaking, the ultimate, absolute thinker, knower, seer, perceiver is consciousness. Consciousness is not the thinker, knower, perceiver, experiencer. But experiencer, thinker, knower, perceiver is another than consciousness. Because the status given to the consciousness in the presence of the thoughts. Suppose if we ask, whose light, now suppose on full moon day, the earth is illumined by the moon, and of course we say the illuminator of the world is the moon in the night. Moon illumines the world in the night. We generally say that. But in our buddhi, even though we use that expression, it is very clearly understood. It is not the light, isn't it? The light obtaining in the moon doesn't belong to the moon. That light actually belongs to the sun alone. Even though sun does not directly illumine the world in the night, it is the sunlight alone which illumines the world through the medium of moon. Similarly here also, we say moon illumines, but still it is actually, sun is the indirect illuminator of the world in the night also on full moon day. It is not the moon. Moon, similarly here, the sun is the sun. We can't say, oh, sun is, moon is the direct illuminator of the earth. You can't say that. Sun is the direct illuminator of the moon, and sun is the indirect illuminator of the world through the moon. Similarly, here, who is the knower here? It is the consciousness is the direct illuminator of the mind, direct knower of the mind, perceiver of the mind, seer of the mind. And the consciousness is alone is the indirect perceiver, knower, thinker, is it? It's the perceiver of the world also. Consciousness is the thinker. How? The thinker is consciousness, we have to say that way. So directly illumines the mind, and indirectly through the mind and senses, consciousness, illuminator of the universe is the consciousness. Therefore, even though we say shrute he shrota, mate he manta, thinker of the thinking, knower of the knower, seer of the seer, it's not direct, but still indirectly it is the illuminator, is the consciousness. Indirectly consciousness illumines the whole jagat, and directly consciousness illumines the mind, but not by any action, by its mere presence. Isn't it? That is what is said here. Therefore, what is the actual, with this, the meaning or the important commentary on this line, on this Pratibodha Viditam Matam, that explanation, unfoldment, Vyadishankara Bhagavad Pada is over here. Actual teaching is finished. Okay, Drashtehe, Drashta, Shrutehe, Shrota, Matehe, Manta, Vijnatehe, Vijnata, Itihi, Shrutyantaram. Shrutyantaram is, there is also another Shruti which states the same thing. What does it mean? There is no second knower, there is no second experiencer, there is no second cognizer, there is no second thinker other than consciousness. It is the, isn't it, the thinker, knower, experiencer anywhere is the consciousness, the only consciousness alone. Okay, so with this, the actual commentary on this particular part is over. The Pratibodha Viditam Matam, the explanation is over here. But here what Shankara does next actually, Now he wants to discuss the other's interpretation, other's interpretation of this mantra. This is his interpretation, isn't it? Had his interpretation, his vision of this mantra, what is actually revealed by this mantra, this particular part of this mantra, is, he presented it. Now, here afterwards, he is going to present the views of the interpretations, others, interpretations of others. How other people interpret this particular line, Pratibodha Viditam Matam, which means Brahman, the reality, as the Atma, as the Self, is available for recognition as the manifest consciousness in every vritti. That's the meaning, isn't it? And what should we do for that? We have to take that manifest consciousness and we intellectually remove the vritti and understand what pure consciousness is. This is the teaching. It's over. But what are the other contentions? What other interpretations? And he really wants to present the two interpretations mainly. Shankara does not mention the name of the interpreter, but he simply mentions, okay, this is the view of a group of people. But who? There's a person called Sachidanandendra Saraswati Swami. And then that Swami alone, he has written notes on Shankara's commentary. And he says, actually, this Shankara presents the Bhartruprapanchaha. There's a person called Bhartruprapanchaha. There's the thought propounded by Bhartruprapancha is called Bhartruprapancha Matam. Bhartruprapancha Matam. So this Bhartruprapanchaha, what does he say? According to one more person is Vaiseshika Matam or Kanada Matam. Vaiseshika Matam is another school of thought. Vaiseshika Matam, propounded by the Rishi called Kanadaha. Therefore, it is called Kanada Matam also. Vaiseshika Matam or Kanada Matam. So now here two interpretations. Bhartruprapancha Matam and Vaiseshika Matam, otherwise called Kanada Matam. Because named after the Rishi called Kanadaha. Now before we see what Kanada Rishi says, Kanada Mati, the people of Kanada Matam, they say, we'll see what is the Bhartruprapancha Matam, what is the Bhartruprapancha's the view. Bhartruprapancha is the name. Okay. According to them, you have to remember these three aspects, points. Knowledge is an action. This is the first thing for them. According to Bhartruprapancha Matam, knowledge is an action. Or knowing is an action. Like what? Like eating, drinking, seeing, going, coming. They're all actions. Like knowing is also an action. Why knowing is an action? Why knowing is an action? Because like where we have these roots, the verbs like gachami, pathami, also we have this verb like janami, bodh, when you say janami, bodhami, I know, bodhati, janati, these are the verbs are used. Whenever verbs are used, the verbs imply what? Action. The verbs imply the action. And because when you say, I know, like I go, I come, I sit, we use the verbs to imply my action. Similarly, when you say, I know, I also what now? I use the verb janami. So knowing must be what now? Like going and sitting, etc. Knowing also is an action. Knowing is an action. This is the first contention. If knowing is an action, how can there be no action? Without the, for the action to be there, then somebody must be there for the action to be there. If there is no, isn't it? And who is the knower then? who is involved in that act of knowing. Therefore they say, so the act of knowing is there, that something is happening, I know because there is Atma. What is their view? Okay, Atma is there. Why? Because the mind is an inert principle. So who is knowing then? The knowing is an action. But who is doing involved in this act of knowing? Like going, sitting means we know body is involved. Is it? Like that, who is involved in this act of knowing? But according to them, they also say, okay, mind, body, senses, pranas, mind, all of them are inert only. But without a conscious principle, there can't be knowing, cannot be there. Therefore, according to them, knowing is what now? Knowing, something sentient must be there for the knowing, act of knowing to be there. Therefore, that Atma is the sentient principle, sentient being, which is involved in the act of knowing. Okay, the second thing, Atma is the knower. See, we say knower is Atma, but what they say? Knowing is an action, and the one who is involved in the act of knowing is Atma. Atma is the knower, second step. Then what is the third thing here? See, we all have to understand all these things to go enter into the next Bhartrupranchas, what to understand what is there. Okay, if Atma is the knower, then okay, how do you know? But Atma is imperceptible, apratyakshaha. Atma apratyakshaha. According to them, according to this Bhartrupranch Matam, that particular school of thought, Atma is the knower, knowing is an action, and the action is possible because of this Atma only. But they say what now? Atma is apratyakshaha, Atma is imperceptible. Atma is imperceptible. If Atma is imperceptible, but how to know that Atma? That imperceptible Atma has to be inferred. Atma is to be inferred. Why? Imperceptible. Anything, see, because it is something imperceptible should be inferred. Inferable. And how do you infer the Atma? Being the knower, isn't it? Through what is the clue through which you infer Atma being behind the act of knowing? Is it? Through the act of knowing. Because mind cannot know, mind cannot do the act of knowing. Mind is the act, knowing is an action, but mind cannot do that action because mind is inert. Because knowing requires sentiency. And body cannot know. So nothing can know. What can know then? What is it can know then? They are Atma. How do you know? The knowing is through this act of knowing is the clue through which I infer Atma being there. How do they know? Through the act of knowing, I infer, isn't it? Atma is there. How we can say, when we see the smoke, seeing the smoke, we infer what now?
Fire.
Existence of fire. Through the act of knowing, we infer the existence of Atma. And here he gives a different example here. Vrikshashakaha chalayati yaha. See, and I see the branches of the tree move. Branches of the tree move. When you see the branches of the tree moving, there is movement. Moving is an action. And who is causing that action? Who is causing that action? But what is the proof? See, the branches of the tree are moving. There is movement. There's act of moving, and which is not possible without the invisible air, wind. So in the existence of the invisible wind is inferred, but through the act of moving, so also we infer the Atma being knower, involved, you know, through the act of knowing. This is their Bhartru Prapancha's view of the Atma. Don't get confused. It's not necessary for us. We are interested only in Atma Jnana. We are not interested in these views. But here Shankara wants to present these views because for you to compare these, what Shankara teaches and what others teach, so to make your understanding much clearer, he is teaching you this. So here what we say, if Atma is, knowing is an action, knowing is not an action for us. Knowing is Surupma of the Atma. And Atma is not the knower. And Atma is not something to be inferred. Isn't it? We can not something to be inferred, but it is something to be recognized. So they say, what one to infer, action becomes the clue. Sorry, act of knowing becomes the clue. According to Bhartru Prapancha's Matam. So here, and let us see what this Bhartru Prapancha, what I have told you, based on, read this particular part so I can tell you what it is. See, Yada onwards. Piriji, you have not seen the book? See, there what you have to do, that Yada Punaha, now time being, the Yada Punaha, the Yada starts here and the Tada comes somewhere. So long sentence. Then what we should make into small sentences. Yada punaha, and then see from bodhakriya. Bodhakriya karta iti. From here you have to write Bhartru Prapancha Matam is presented here. What is the view contention of what is the view of Atma? According to Bhartru Prapancha's Matam. The school of Bhartru Prapancha. So, he says, Bodhakriyakarta. Bodhakriyakarta means what? The doer of the act of knowing. Bodha means knowledge. Kriya means action. So, the act of knowing. Who is the doer of the act of knowing? Isn't it? Atma. Bodhakriya karta iti. Bodhakriya lakshanena tat kartaram janati iti. Okay. Atma is bodhakriya karta. Atma is the doer of the act of knowing. But how do we know that Atma is the doer of the act of knowing? Atma is the knower. How do we know? Atma is the knower. How do we know? Because we have already seen, isn't it? Because Atma is imperceptible. Atma is, isn't it? Imperceptible. According to them also, Atma is imperceptible. If Atma is imperceptible, then how to know that Atma is involved in the act of knowing? In fact, he says, this act of knowing itself is the clue. You know, itself is the means to through which you infer the knower being there. The one who is, because of whose presence act of knowing is possible. Like because of the presence of the wind alone, what now? The branches of the tree move. So the movement of the branches of the tree becomes a clue for inferring the invisible wind. Similarly, to infer the Atma being the knower, we have the clue of what now? The act of knowing is the clue. Because I know, there's knowing, isn't it? I know. Then my knowing. So Atma is something which is inside me. And then that's why I know. Because of whose presence, whatever, I am able to know. So for them, the knowing is taken to be the action and which becomes a clue to infer the presence of Atma. So bodha kriya lakshanena punaha bodha kriya karta iti. Bodha kriya lakshanena, lakshana means through the clue of the act of knowing, we infer the Atma as the knower. Tat kartaram vijanati. Okay, vijanati means what now? We know, we arrive at the, here according to them, the people of a Bhartrupapancha Mata, how do they, what they say, we arrive at the Atma. No, kartaram janati, we arrive at the Atma. For them, Atma is what? The doer of the act of knowing. And through the act of knowing, they arrive at the presence of the Atma. They infer the Atma. For them, Atma is something to be inferred through the act of knowing. Vijanati iti. Bodha lakshanena viditam pratibodha viditam. Iti bodha lakshanena viditam. So this Atma, who is known through the act of knowing, every time you know something, you infer whom? You infer some sentient being, the consciousness. Every time you know, you infer the existence or presence of the Atma. Through that, what is the clue for you? Atma is there in me. Atma is inside me. There's something called Atma, a conscious being, a consciousness, sentiency in me. Okay? In me. And because of which alone the act of knowing is possible. Therefore, the act of knowing is the inferring clue through which I infer the Atma being there. So, bodha lakshanena viditam, that Atma, pratibodha viditam, iti vyakhyayate. Vyakhyayate means what? It is expounded, explained. Okay, every time cognition arises, every time knowledge arises, every time there is experience, what do they understand? Because this knowing is the action, and this action is possible because of the Atma, the invisible Atma, imperceptible Atma. Therefore, we can only infer the presence of the Atma through this act of knowing. Is it clear? This is the meaning, this is their interpretation of this particular pratibodha viditam. Atma becomes recognizable through, or not recognizable, actually inferable through the act of knowing. Completely different, isn't it? Knowing is what? An action. And who should be involved there? Some conscious being. Definitely they know mind is not involved in the act of knowing, because mind is inert. Not the body, not the senses, not the mind. Then who is involved in the act of knowing? There is act of knowing. I know that I know. I am knowing. Which means this action is for because of that Atma only. Look at this. So for them, what is the view now? Atma is something to be inferred through the clue of knowing, which is an action. Pratibodha viditam iti vyakhyayate. And he gives an example here. What is the example given? Look at this. Yatha, just as, Yaha vriksha shakas chalayati saha vayuhu iti tadvat. Yaha vriksha shakaha chalayati. No? The one who causes the movement of the branches of the tree. Chalayati. Chalayati means causes the movement of the branches of the tree is the wind. You infer the presence of the wind. You infer who the wind is, what the wind is, how, through the act of, isn't it? Act of movement on the part of the part of the act movement and the part of the branches of the tree. Who causes the act of movement? Who causes the movement of the branches of the trees? Vrikshasya shakaha chalayati yaha. The one who causes the movement. No, the part of the branches of the tree is the vayuhu, wind. Vrikshashakaha chalayati saha vayuhu iti tadvat. In the same way, atma also, tadvat means like that, atma is something to be inferred through the act of knowing. This is the their matam, Bhartrupapancha's matam. Then, suppose if this is the view, if the, according to this view, what happens? What should we arrive at here? He says, Shankara says here, tada, if this is so, if that is act of knowing is, act, the knowing is an action, if knowing is an action, and that is possible because of the Atma alone, and that Atma is the one who causes the act of knowing, therefore the Atma being imperceptible, Atma has to be inferred through the act of knowing, then, tada, then, what happens now? Bodha Kriya Shaktiman Atma, Atma, the one who is capable of causing the act of knowing, one who is capable of causing the act of knowing becomes what now? Dravyam, becomes inert substance. Na bodha swarupaha eva. Which means Atma is not the bodha swarupaha. Which means an Atma is not the consciousness. Na bodha swarupaha. The Atma becomes what now? Dravyam. If we go by their view, then Atma becomes the one who is endowed with the capacity to cause the act of knowing. Then Atma becomes what then? Dravyam, the inert substance, not the bodha swarupaha, not the consciousness. Which means, bodhastu jayate vinashyati cha. Which means, and what is consciousness then? Isn't it? Bodha, here knowledge or awareness or consciousness, jayate vinashyati. Okay? Whenever the Atma, which is ended with the power, okay, cause, capacity to cause the act of knowing, you know, then the consciousness comes, awareness comes, and awareness goes. Comes, goes, comes, goes, comes, goes. Look at this. If we go by their view, Atma becomes the inert substance, then consciousness is something, the being aware, is it the knowledge, the awareness, the consciousness, is something which comes and goes according to their view. It's like what? Like the, even we can say the same thing with the present, the modern science also. The mind has the capacity, say the brains actually. You know, the brains, because of some neurological, you know, some functions, you know, the mind, the brains produce the consciousness, And that way we are able to know. And what when the person dies, what happens? The mind loses, mind loses the capacity to produce consciousness. Then the mind remains as inert matter. Then it is dead. The person becomes dead. So according to modern science, it is the mind with the neurological some factors really produces consciousness. Isn't it? And when the brain loses, the brain loses the capacity to do that, that is when brain becomes inert and there is a dead inert mind, inert brain. We lose the capacity, we are not able to know. Like that, for them, consciousness is something which arrives and goes. And what is Atma? Some sentient being within me which has the capacity to cause the act of knowing. I don't know what that Atma is. I don't know how it is. It is imperceptible. I infer how. Because there is smoke means there is fire. The act of knowing is, therefore there is Atma. Okay, now what happens? So bodha tu jayate vinashyati. It's like typically like the view of modern science. Consciousness comes and consciousness goes. Okay, and for which something has to really work for bringing the consciousness, isn't it? And that is according to them is brains. It's modern science. And here, Atma has the capacity, isn't it? Because that's always, the knowing is not there always. It goes, isn't it? Which means it consciousness comes and goes.
Yada bodha nashyati, tada nashta bodha dravya matram. Nirviseshaha. Yada bodha nashyati. Yada bodha jayate, tada bodha kriyaya saviseshaha.
When there is consciousness, okay, bodha kriya. Yada bodha jayate, when the consciousness is there, is born, comes into existence, then bodha kriyaya. It ended with what now? It is ended with the act of knowing. Bodha kriyaya saviseshaha. Okay, saviseshaha, with the act of knowing. So whenever there is act of knowing, you understand what? The consciousness is inferred through the act of knowing.
And yada bodha nashyati, whenever the cognition goes, tada nashta bodha, then when the knowledge goes also, what now? Consciousness also goes, according to them. Nashta bodha, now without the awareness, consciousness, dravya matram nirviseshaha, the matter alone without the knowledge remains, without the consciousness. So saviseshaha means what now? That particular matter called Atma, which has the capacity to cause the act of knowing, is instrumental for the consciousness to come into existence. And when the consciousness, the capacity is, the consciousness goes, so the act of knowing is, isn't it? There is consciousness, the act of knowing goes, there is no consciousness.
So, yada bodha jayate, tada bodha kriya saviseshaha.
Yada bodha nashyati, tada nashta bodha dravya matram nirviseshaha.
Whenever there is no act of knowing, it is nirviseshaha. It is without the act of knowing. It is there. It is then, there is no consciousness.
Suppose this is their view. All this is what now? The whole thing what has been said here now is the view of Bhartruprapancha. The people of this school of philosophy, the school of thought, you know, propounded by a person called Bhartruprapancha. Tatra evam sati vikriyatmakaha. Suppose if we take this, then now Shankara says, if we take this view, what will be the now? Now this view has to be refuted. This Bhartruprapancha's view, contention has to be refuted. How to refute, isn't it? So that he has to present now. Suppose if this view is taken to be the fact, then what all problems will be there? What all problems will be there if we take this view as a fact? Then vikriyatmakaha. Then becomes what now? Suppose we take that view, we go by that view, atma vikriyatmakaha, atma becomes something which is subject to change. Vikriyatmakaha. Then savayavaha. Then atma becomes the one with the parts. Because it comes and goes, isn't it? Therefore. Then anityaha, because this cognition, the knowledge comes and goes. So time the cognition is, cognition is not there. Therefore, if we only have to infer the existence of Atma through this act of knowing, then anityaha, the Atma becomes what now? Time bound also, anityaha. So Atma becomes subject to change, subject to change, and savayavaha becomes one with limbs, etc., or one with parts, etc. Then anityaha, non-eternal, time-bound, which means subject to all the changes, sixfold modifications. Which means the time it comes into existence, asti, jayate, vardate, vipanamate, apakshyate, nashyati. All these sixfold modifications, atma is subject to all these sixfold modifications also. Then ashuddha, anityaha, ashuddha. Then atma becomes what now? The one which is endowed with impurities also. Ashuddha, ityadayaha, ityadaya doshaha, na parihartum shakyante. Then these defects cannot be, no? So you have to say, no, savayavaha, anityaha, ashuddaha, vikriyatmakaha, these are all the, isn't it, doshaha. All these doshas become what on na parihartum shakyante, they are not removable then. It is not possible to eliminate these doshas from the atma if we take their view of atma as a fact. Is it clear? So with this, this one particular Bhartruprapancha's view of the Atma is presented here. With this, it's end. It is over. Next comes the Kanada. I'm not going to do the Kanada now. You can have any doubts you have in this part, whatever I have said, you can ask me, I'll clarify your doubts. Because next is Kanada, isn't it? So I'm not doing the Kanada. Because I don't want to confuse you with too many things.
Swaminiji?
Yeah?
Yeah. In the Bhartruprapanchaka, you know, interpretation, to the extent it says that, you know, Atma can be inferred through the act of knowing, is it to that extent true? In the sense, since I know that, you know, the mind knows thing, or you know, the act of knowing happens in the mind, but it's not possible without consciousness being there. To that extent, isn't it correct? But you know,
see, it's not just that extent knowledge is only guesswork, isn't it? There is no clear understanding of what Atma is.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Because the non-eternal part is not brought in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's limiting the consciousness to only that extent.
Yes, yes. Which means lot of problems will be there. Which means there will be Atma will be there in everyone's mind. Lots of problems will be there. That time we'll see later afterwards, after Kanada. This Bhartra Prapancha's thing is, see, first thing is Atma becomes inert substance. And consciousness is something which comes and goes in that matter. See, which causes the act of knowing. Atma is something which is endowed with the capacity to cause the act of knowing. Which means, because of the particular substance called Atma alone, the consciousness comes. Okay? So, whenever there is a consciousness, cognition, through that act, oh, because of this alone, what now? The knowing is possible. So, the act of knowing becomes the clue for us to understand the Atma.
In this the conscious also becomes inert according to that. Consciousness also becomes inert, because if Atma is inert, according to that.
Yeah, for the conscious is something
which is also inert.
Comes and goes, yeah. Just dependent. Dependent, something dependent. Factor. Consciousness is not the reality. Consciousness becomes a dependent entity which comes and goes because of the Atma. See, then for the knowing, there is sentiency, isn't it? For the sentiency, for the consciousness to come there, for the awareness to happen, awareness of something to happen, there must be that Atma. And that Atma is imperceptible. You only arrive at the existence of that Atma through this, through the clue of this cognition or knowledge. But why they say that view, how, you know, it said that Shankara is going to say later on, but then once you accept that, and what are the consequences, what will be the problems? Then what he says, tatra evam sati, there, if it is so, then what happens? Vikriyatmakaha sa avayavaha anityaha ashuddaha ityadeha doshaha na parihartum shakyante. These defects cannot be, isn't it, removed. The Atma is something which is endowed with these defects. Then again, there is lots of things, isn't it? So, of the first itself, when this Pratibodha Viditta Matam, it's understood as the Atma is, Brahman is the Atma, but Brahman, the reality, is recognizable only as consciousness, only in the mind. See, we only use the word limitless reality. Reality, reality, Parampurul, we only say that. But what is that reality? We only say the universe is, because there must be reality. Because the universe has come into existence from that reality. Therefore, the reality is. What is the proof? The universe is. Which means reality is. Without the reality, the universe cannot be. So that reality, and the Shastram says, it is everywhere, but how is it recognizable? You cannot, there is no way of recognizing reality other than, you know, the consciousness. Reality has to be recognized only in which form, in what form reality has to be recognized. Reality has to be recognized only in the form of consciousness. If it has recognized only in the form of consciousness, no other way. So we say reality, that's why we use the word sat. Something very important, notice here. We say sat. You know, sat means actually the very substrate, very existence of the jagat. So reality is in the form of the existence of the universe. In what form do I comprehend the reality when I see the universe? In what form do I comprehend, isn't it? So only in the form of existence. Because I use this, suppose, the use the yukti, the logic there. Without the gold, there cannot be an ornament. So when I see the ornament which has come out of, which is now made of this gold, actually I see the gold is in the form of existence of the ornament. Similarly, the reality, which is, we do not know X, from which this universe has come into existence, means that reality is obtaining in the form of existence only. Therefore, I see the existence of the universe. So, but what is that which is really, you know, lending existence to this universe? Therefore, that is where the Shastram say that reality, the Sat, which lends existence to the universe, is recognized, available for recognition only as consciousness. In what form? In which form can you recognize existence? Existence has to be recognized, isn't it? Existence of the universe has to be recognized. In which form? What form? Is there any other form which you can recognize existence? No. Existence is recognizable only in the form of consciousness. Again, where? Only in the mind. And as what, isn't it? How is it recognized? So you never recognize again, consciousness as consciousness, isn't it? You always recognize consciousness as the manifest consciousness, which means you cannot recognize consciousness without the vritti. Even Vidyarana Swami says, no, in Panchadashi, see, when you have to see the light, come on, see the light, we say, because light is formless, one indivisible, partless, the whole, isn't it? How do you recognize light here? So when you say, suppose I bring my hand like this, and say, come on, how do you see the light? From the standpoint of the light, you understand what, the hand, understand the light. So because something, the formless, subtlest, you know, the imperceptible reality, the consciousness, is recognizable in the presence of the thought. Because that in whose presence thought shines, you recognize that as the consciousness. Then that consciousness that associated with or manifested by the thought is what? Manifest consciousness. So what is pure consciousness then? No, where is it? In every thought it is, means that the thoughts, many the vritti parinama is there, thoughts come and go, many thoughts come and go. Now in different states of mind also, what are the thoughts, number of thoughts vary also. But thoughts here, but what is it which is always there, illumining every thought which is coming? Every thought comes and goes, illumining the thought, coming thought, existing thought, going thought, illumining what is there without coming and going. Without arriving and departing, illumining the arriving, departing thoughts, what is there is what? The manifest consciousness. So how do I know? There's no such a thing called manifest consciousness. So remove the vrittis intellectually, understand what is there is consciousness. And consciousness is actual now. We say, aham. I am that consciousness. So this is what is the Pratibodha Viditam Matam. Isn't it? This is experience of one object, isn't it? There's so many vrittis arise, and that's why we said different things also. The cognition, perception, knowing, and then any emotion. In every vritti also, what no? Vritti by itself is jadam, but in every vritti, jada vritti hi, how, again, vritti, how subtle it is. It's another thing. how subtle the thought is. Thought is very, very subtle. That is why thought is also formless, isn't it? You talk about the word desire, isn't it? Desire you write, desire you say, desire you know what it is. You know what desire is. But can you say where the desire is, how the desire is? Or Shastram says, desire is a vrittihi, antakkarna vrittihi, a thought modification which rises and resolves in the mind. That's all Upanishad, the Shastram says. So even thought, you cannot imagine how the thought would look. You only understand thought as a thought. You know what you know as a desire or anger or jealousy or hatred or, you know, confusion, delusion, anything what you say, that thought is what? They're all thoughts only. And all the thoughts when they come, thoughts are known to you. Similarly, we have different vrittis also. See, not only those vrittis, varieties of vrittis, we don't have only one vritti. I tell you, for every object you see outside, you recognize outside, there must be a vritti inside. There is no vritti here. Suppose if you do not know, if the mic vritti does not arise in your mind, you cannot have mic cognition. You know, the vritti arises. So how many objects you see, as many thoughts arise in your mind. And they very, very quickly move also. That is why you are able to see. I can move from one person to other person, other person to other person. I can see on all of you. Means simultaneously, so many vritti is just very quick. Very subtle. Mind is a very, very subtle function. And that subtlest mind is the manifesting medium. Not only mind, thoughts also. And particular thoughts alone travel through the senses. Vrittis. Like there are, see, Shrotra Vrittihi, Netra Vrittihi, and then Nasika Vrittihi, Jihva Vrittihi, you know, this we say, Thvang Vrittihi, through all these different vrittis which rise in the mind alone, you know, these vrittis alone, what now? We have five different vrittis. Apart from them, we have other vrittis. So, all the data you collect through these senses, without these vrittis, even the sense organs cannot function as sense organs. Which means the vrittis, not that there's no consciousness in the senses and here, but manifestations only in the vrittis. That is what I want to understand. So every vritti, no, that's a perception also is what? Perception through any of the senses also is what? Thought plus consciousness. Cognition also is what? Thought plus consciousness. Knowledge is what? Thought plus consciousness. So it is perception or cognition or knowledge or any experience. Even the thoughts which arise in the mind or the cognitions of the external objects, all of them are what now? Vrittis only. So knowledge of gross object or subtle object, isn't it? Subtle object in the form of the thought itself. Suppose, for example, anger, desire, confusion, we say. Delusion, we say. These are not the objects with the form which you perceive outside. You don't hear through the ears, you don't see through the senses. But still there are also objects of knowledge. Even those vrittis also, for them to shine, there is consciousness, isn't it? When the vrittis shine. When vrittis shine means, are they evident? They become evident. What is that? Isn't it? Becomes evident to whom? To me means, therefore, and what is that me? What am I? There again we say, the I also is what, I am also cognition when you say, that also what, aham vritti plus chaitanyam. Therefore, we say, just that even though many vrittis come, but in every vritti what is manifest, as manifest there, that manifestations seem to be many because of the manifesting thoughts are many, but that which is manifest in every vritti, changing vritti, unchangeably what is there is consciousness, that is what is pratibodha viditam. It's the only way you can recognize, only way you can know Brahman in your own mind as the consciousness, you know, available for recognition in, as invariably present in all the variable thoughts, as the manifest consciousness. You can never recognize pure consciousness. But pure consciousness you arrive at intellectually removing the manifesting media, the thoughts. Understand? This is something we have to know very clearly. Because the manifest consciousness and pure consciousness are not two different things also. We can never experience pure consciousness separately or manifest consciousness separately. In fact, the same consciousness is always there. When a vritti comes, it gets the name manifest consciousness. Then this consciousness is recognizable. When you recognize consciousness, oh, without a vritti, what is there is what? Pure consciousness. This is the only way you can arrive at. That this is why we say here, now we talk about these two words also. Therefore, there is no jiva jiva bhedaha. Here all the difference also negated here. That's why in all the sarva bhuteshu siddham also said here. In all the beings we say, is one and the same means. Is it? So mind, the medium is different, but still the what is manifest is what? One and the same. Therefore, there's not only jiva jiva bheda is there, there's a paramatma jivatma bheda also is not there. So only the Paramatma's mind is the superiority. Bhagavan has superiority only from the standpoint of the mind. Isn't it? Really speaking, the consciousness obtaining in different manifests in that total mind, and consciousness manifests in this individual mind is one and the same. Therefore, jiva and parama, both adjectives are what? No, only in the standpoint of the two different manifesting media. The total mind, we called what? Ishvara. The consciousness manifest in total mind is Ishvara. The consciousness manifest in individual mind is what? Chidabhasa, jiva. Really speaking, to be frank, both are one and the same. There is no parama adjective also from the standpoint of the cosmic mind. And the jiva is also what? No, adjective also from the standpoint of the individual mind. You take the both the mind as what? Manifesting medium. Then see, understand consciousness as one indivisible, partless whole, the limitless reality, Brahman. So Ishwaratvam also is negated. Now Ishvara, Paramatma, Jivatma, all of them are, all that is there is only Atma. So this is the, this is what is explained till the Vijnatehe Vijnata Itihi Shrutyantaram. From there you can mark in your book. With that ends the commentary, Shankara's commentary on Pratibodha Viditam Matam. The whole teaching of Keno Upanishad also gets over there. From there onwards, Shankara only presents views of two other people, two interpreters.
Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tatsat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.